there are signs that hiring is surging as spring heads into summer. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news that a private sector survey that hints about the official hiring and unemployment reports came in today much stronger than expected. 978,000 more people landed on payrolls in May, according to the paycheck processor ADP. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, and she helps us many a Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, the ADP data doesn't always track with the official jobs report due tomorrow, but certainly interesting today.
Certainly encouraging. Close to 1 million jobs created, with big gains in leisure and hospitality and small businesses. Now, we've learned to be a little humble rather than use our hubris when it comes to forecasting monthly employment reports. But the good news is we've seen a slew of data that suggests that momentum is shifting regarding hiring and people accepting jobs.
Now, fitting into the ADP payroll numbers today is that people signing up for unemployment benefits for the first time, that number dropped again. It's been happening every week now for over a month.
It's still not where it needs to be. We're still high, and there's some workers that are just losing their extensions on benefits. But the good news is the initial claims are coming down, and that means some people are getting hired.
The thesis that no one's going back into the labor force because of all the government benefits they might get for staying out of the labor force. Somebody's getting work.
Absolutely. And, you know, the studies on that, I mean, the San Francisco Fed just did a study on whether or not the $300 supplement is a deterrent. And it's one of the least of deterrents. It is a small deterrent, but the biggest issues are a whole litany of things, of everything from how long it takes for a vaccination to become effective with two jabs, to the fact that a lot of people actually didn't realize the vaccines were free. And then, of course, there's the other issue of these are now called frontline workers in a war, and the mask mandates have made it even harder when you see viral videos of people spitting on frontline workers because they don't want to wear masks when asked.
Yeah. Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. She's out of Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now it's factories waiting longer for the inputs they need to make the stuff we buy. The Institute of Supply Management says while factory output has been going up steadily month over month since last spring, plants are waiting now 85 days on average for their inputs. That's the longest average wait in the 34 years they have tracked this. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
Manufacturers are facing a shortage of steel and aluminum, says the ISM's Tim Fiore. He says tariffs on imported metals are pushing up prices. That means manufacturers are leaning more on domestic steel and aluminum.
And that then sucks all the capacity out.
Fiore says North American steel mills are strained.
And what used to be, you know, 10 weeks or so in lead time is now 20.
That's causing manufacturers to order more metals so they don't run out, says Dartmouth trade professor Emily Blanchard.
Which means there are further shortages.
Blanchard says retailers are paying attention and trying to anticipate whether manufacturers will start charging more for finished products.
And if I think prices are going to rise in the future, when I get stock back on my shelves, I raise my sticker price to consumers as well.
Blanchard says she's optimistic that these delays and shortages are short-term disruptions. The tariffs, on the other hand, aren't likely to go away anytime soon. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And food prices keep going up both in your town and around the world. There's news that a United Nations reading on the global cost of food went up again in May, making it a year of higher prices each and every month. Higher demand in China, drought in South America, and of course, pandemic. I was in a diner in New Hampshire this weekend, and they wanted me to use my phone to snap the Rorschach code to read the menu on my screen. Awesome. But thing is, cellular data was spotty and didn't have Wi-Fi. But a lot of pandemic tech in the restaurant industry may be here to stay. Susanna Capilluto of WABE in Atlanta reports as part of our Back to Business series.
So there's a QR code on the table.
At a bar taco restaurant in Atlanta, manager Jay Clark points his cell phone at a small plastic square attached to the center of a table that sports a QR code.
So each QR code is unique to the table. So this is table 43. When a guest rings in on this QR code, the team knows it's table 43.
He taps his phone, a menu pops up, and he selects some items.
there goes my order. And just like a good student at school, I'm going to get a green check mark. I bet you. Yep. And they now are going to make a margarita and some guacamole.
Noma waiters, just workers who bring out food, since patrons also pay on their phone. Bartaco's on-demand service was developed during COVID to minimize contact. But Bartaco CEO Scott Lawton says he wants to keep it.
It was this weird sort of chocolate peanut butter moment where we said, wait a second, this could be part of our service plan going forward.
Table QR codes are popping up in food courts and restaurants around the country now. The tech requires fewer people who can earn more, says Lawton.
We don't pay a tax tip wage any longer. We pay a full minimum wage along with a tip. And everybody, including our dishwasher, is making $20 to $24 an hour.
COVID has forced a big shift, says Karen Bremer with the Georgia Restaurant Association.
Ordering that food, selling the food, and collecting payment on the food. Every single one of those touch points changed. The 14 months of technology changes for our industry would have normally taken 5 to 10 years to embrace.
And it has made restaurants more efficient, she says.
Restaurateurs were able to examine what were their popular items, what were their profitable items.
Back at Bartaco, Jay Clark's order is up.
And then here's our margarita. And I don't know.
That was fast.
I didn't hit a timer, but that was roughly 2 minutes.
But on-demand dining is only an option here. Old-fashioned service is still available. In Atlanta, I'm Susanna Capoluto for Marketplace.
The stock of the movie chain AMC is having its meme moment. Shares of the cinema chain nearly doubled in value yesterday. This is the same AMC that late last year warned it could end up in bankruptcy because of the pandemic. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here to explain.
David, this seems a lot like GameStop Rally 2.0. AMC has become a favorite of retail investors who organize online to buy so-called meme stocks. The company says individual shareholders now own more than 80% of AMC and number at more than 3 million. And the difference that's made for the theater chain between last year and this year is significant. AMC stock was down 70% last year. It was worth about $2. Now its shares are up more than 2,800% for the year.
Now, it calls to mind GameStop, which you mentioned. Yeah. That was the darling of people who exchange stock tips online in Reddit threads back in January. Where's GameStop here in June?
Well, GameStop is actually off its lows for the year. That said, you would have lost money if you bought at the height of the frenzy in January. You'd be down maybe about 19% now. So that just goes to show the risks of these seesawing meme stocks.
All right, considering these risks, how's AMC responding to the latest rally?
Well, for one, the company cashed in. It sold a trove of new shares to a hedge fund this week, raising some $230 million for AMC. The company says it's going to put that money into buying up theaters, among other things. Meanwhile, the hedge fund reportedly turned around and sold the shares it bought for a profit. And now AMC is telling its individual investors, hey, come sign up for a newsletter so we can keep in touch with each other and talk to you directly, and you'll get discounts and freebies. So the company seems to be embracing the retail investor interest.
All right, Nova, thank you. And in an SEC filing to create 12 million new shares, it's throwing like chum to the sharks. AMC itself wrote in these words, "Under the circumstances, we caution you against investing in our Class A common stock unless you are prepared to incur the risk of losing all or a substantial portion of your investment," unquote. That's a longer way of saying, don't come crying to us. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.